Hey, this is Kyle Eidelman from Southeast Christian Church, and I want to thank you for listening to the message today. As we open up the scriptures together, I pray that this message inspires you, challenges you, and is the right word at just the right time in your life. Enjoy the message.
Great to be with y'all, man. How y'all doing? Love it. Let's dive right in. You've got your Bible apps, Bibles, whatever you got. Mark chapter 4, we're going to dive straight in. It says, that day, verse 35, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, he being Jesus, let's go over to the other side. So leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" And he got up, he rebuked the wind, and he said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." So family, today we're going to take a look just through those Jesus lens glasses at how, Jesus, do you see our storms? We all have them. We all had them. We're all going to have them. So Jesus, how do you see them? And before we get rolling, I just need to know, I need to unpack a little bit of the fact that I'm not, there's a difference between a bad day and a storm, right? Like, y'all know a bad day. For example, we have this thing called sports in the state of Kentucky. You know what I'm saying? And so just about that time, like, we're at that perfect cross where it's like football season's doing this. And basketball season, our hope, and I was at the gym this last week, and I was talking to a guy, I love him, and I was like, "Man, how you doing?" And the next 30 minutes was the woes of his team, man. He was just like, "Oh, they need to fire this guy, and what are we doing?" And I was just like, "Man, he's just having a bad day." Sports team, anybody have a bad day because you're sports team? I'm just telling you, maybe that's not you. The rest, let me rope some of the rest of you in. How many of you have a family? We love our families, amen? And no one will quite make you lose your mind quite like family. You know what I'm saying? I mean, whether it's a two-year-old or whether it's your teenager, whether for you teenagers, it's your grumpy parents that wake up in the morning. Maybe it's aging parents that are above you. I don't know what it is, but there's nothing like family. I'm telling you, man, you can be like, "I'm having a great day. I got a great schedule, coffee in my hand." They say one word and you're like, "I hate my life," and I'm kind of hate them. Just make you lose your calm, man. And, or just driving in this state. Can I get an amen? Oh my gosh, man. I get in my truck and I'm just like, I just want to get to work, man. That's it. And then brother's on his cell phone. I'm like, "Bro, move," right? And then Captain honks a lot. I'm like, "Bro, we're all merging. You got a rage right now? We're all merging." Drivers can make us lose our mind. And so I know you. You've lived long enough, I have too, that there is a massive difference between a bad day and a storm, right? I mean, a bad day frustrates you, but a storm can frighten you. A bad day you can laugh about a week later and be like, "Dude, I was such an idiot." You can talk about it. Storm wakes you up at 2 a.m. and you don't want to talk about it. Bad day feels like pressure, storm feels like danger. And when you're in a storm, the last thing you want is for somebody to just give you like a little pep talk and some advice and some breathing techniques. You know what I'm saying? You're like, "Okay, I'm in a storm. Here's what I need in the storm. I need the storm to stop. I need somebody to do something. I need somebody to say something. I need somebody to fix something. I just know I want out." And so I just want to make it clear today, here's the good news, family. Jesus has more to offer all of us today than a pep talk on a bad day. Jesus has a desire in the heart to meet you in your storm. And he alone has the capacity and the power and the love and the supernatural ability to create a calm in you that does not make sense regardless of what's swirling around you. So that's what we're gonna dig into this story. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 says simply this. It says, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Now, I don't know if you knew this, but 11 of the 12 guys from his group right here, they grew up on the lake. And so they knew when Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side," they're like, I kind of feel like that's a bad idea, Jesus. Because on the other side of the lake is not Jewish territory. It's the region of the Decapolis. It's a place with, you know, godless men, compromise. They don't like us. They don't talk like us. They don't vote like us. They're ruthless. It's not safe. And so when Jesus says, "Let's go to the other side," every single one of them would have been like, I feel like this is a bad idea. But this is one of those, I think we got to start here. This is one of those, "I don't know, Jesus, but I trust you. I trust you. So we're going to put our lives in the boat and we're going to go where you're inviting us to go." And I just want to say, if we're going to talk about the supernatural calm, if we're going to talk about Jesus coming and filling us and meeting us, I can't escape the fact that saying yes to calm is saying yes to his invitation. Here's what this looks like. Verse 36 says it like this. It says, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. So he said, "Let's go." And in order to go, you have to do what? You gotta leave. This Greek word means like to surrender, to let go. You can't go and hold on. So you gotta leave, and it says leaving the crowd. So every time you see crowd in scripture, you need to know that crowd is not just a descriptor of a group, it's also a mentality. Okay. Crowds like to kind of pick and choose principles and practices they like. People were always surrounding Jesus. He's literally leaving a crowd at this moment, and they love them some Jesus, y'all. They love to hear, "Oh man, I love God's compassion. I love his blessings. They love to watch him do miracles." Who doesn't want the silver bullet of God showing up and doing something supernatural? They're like, "Oh, I need me some Jesus." Crowd loves to listen. A crowd loves to have takeaways. But the crowd was never a group marked with a commitment to follow. Crowd says, "I like me some Jesus, but all in sounds a little out there. Man, I wanna be a better guy. I want the promise of eternity, but I'm not sure I wanna give up control. I mean, what if he asked me to forgive somebody I don't wanna forgive? What if he asked me to deny a part of myself that I don't wanna give up? What if he takes me a place that, hey, that's not on my agenda, that's not on my plans?" Now, I'll put it like this. There are a lot of people around Jesus who wanted the Jesus stuff. But there's only one way to get the kind of calm in your spirit, no matter what comes, kind of life where God's promises are rooted and the presence of God is available and the fruit of the Spirit is popping out of your life. And the only way to do that is to choose to follow. You gotta let go. I think it's interesting. I don't know if you caught this line, but it says there were also other boats with him. Do you notice that line? So Mark chapter 4, they set out and there's a bunch of boats and a bunch of people are like, "Let's go, man, I'm in on this." And they're like packing some boats, like, "Let's do the Jesus journey." You get to the end of Mark chapter 4 and there's only one boat. Because some people, they're like, "Yeah, man, I wanna trust you, let's go." And they get a little bit out for the shore. And then they're like, "I don't know, man. It was really safe back in that old relationship and it was really comfortable back where I was and I don't even know where this cat's going. And so y'all can keep going, but I'm going back." And I would just say, Jesus, I think, would tell us that the calm that you long for, that they long for, would never be found on the shore. But to receive from him is to surrender and trust him, and it's to go with him. Verse 37, says it like this. It says, all of a sudden a furious squall came up. When was the last time you used the word squall? It's been a minute. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that It was nearly swamped. It uses two words to describe the storm, furious squall. Those two words, if you look at them, it's a combination of sudden and violent. And I would say it like this. This is what makes storms so scary. It's the sudden and it's the violent nature of the storm. So sudden, it's kind of like this. It's kind of like that addiction that you were managing, and you were managing it pretty good. You've been managing it for years and years and years, but then suddenly, it stops just helping you take the edge off. It suddenly starts managing you. To the pressure at work, and you're like, man, it's work. You know, like work comes with pressure. It's like deadlines, it's kind of a thing. But all of a sudden, it moves from motivating you, and it's suddenly starting to suffocate you. Maybe you've had a season. I've had this season where we just gotta catch up financially, you know what I'm saying? You're like, man, I gotta get caught up. And this is a season, we'll get past this. And you're like, this is just a bad day, we'll figure this out. But then suddenly, this is not that. This isn't one of those seasons where you just catch up. Like this is one of those places you can feel it rising in your gut. This is one of those things I don't know how to get out of. Now feel the waters coming over. It's your teenager that starts drifting and you're like, man, they're teenagers. You're like, this is just a phase they're going through, and then all of a sudden, you recognize, I don't think this is a phase, man. I think they're in a bad spot and we don't have a good relationship and I don't know how to get there. It's like the marriage that you're in and you're like, man, you know, it's not like marriages, we go through stuff, we figure stuff out, but all of a sudden, it gets quieter, it gets colder, everything starts feeling a little heavier. It's your health. I mean, your health is like, you know, whatever. None of us are getting younger around here, you know what I'm saying? Stuff hurts. You groan when you stand up. But then suddenly, you start recognizing that what you're facing might alter your current life and might cut your life short. It's your parents, and they're getting older, and first it's kind of sweet how they're a little bit more fragile and they're a little forgetful, and you're like, oh buddy, but it's not cute anymore. Like suddenly turns to violent. So what came out of the blue, now the storm is starting. It's like the waves are kind of breaking over the bow, and you start to feel like you're sinking. Sudden takes kind of that turn where it's no longer that thing to tackle out there, but it's like this painful, hurtful, overwhelming sinking feeling in your chest. And it's like anxiety kind of like humming underneath your skin like electricity. It's like disappointment that's like settling in your bones. It's like grief. It just feels like, I know I should be past this, but just feels like it's taking my breath away. It's those finances, man, you've reworked them a million times and they just won't add up. And you just feel this 10,000 pound weight on your chest. It's that relationship that hasn't healed. It's that those voices inside that get louder and louder at night. It's the feeling that you have inside when hope gets thinner and thinner. And in these moments, in these water filling the boat moments, we ask, verse 38. So Jesus was in the stern, sleeping. And on a cushion, the disciples woke him and he said to them, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Teacher, don't you care? It's a good question. I mean, if I ask you when you walked in today, would you say Jesus cared? You're like, yeah, Jesus cares, man. Like, of course he did, he's Jesus. Like, I know he cares, but does he care? Like, does he see? Verse 39 says this, says, "When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind, and then he said to the waves, 'Silence, be still.' And suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. Then he asked him, 'Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?' And all of a sudden, from reading this, we recognize he's about to deal with a storm, but as soon as he deals with the storm, he's gonna turn and he's gonna look inward because Jesus has seen something we're not seeing. It's like he's tipping his hat that this whole situation is not what we think it is. And that brings me to the second thing, is saying yes to calm. If we're gonna see the way things, see things the way he does, it's saying yes to his shalom. I almost put peace. Shalom is the Hebrew or Old Testament version of that word, and we translate it. But when we think of peace, the challenge with peace is when we think of peace, peace means the absence of conflict. It's the absence of a storm. The problem is that that's not what the word means. Shalom, this word shalom, the reason that that was the blessing from the Lord, that's the way, it's one of the most recorded sayings in scripture as a blessing over somebody, shalom, what you're saying to them is shalom means the filling of every good thing in every good way. See, shalom is not the absence of conflict. Shalom is the fullness of something that you couldn't even put terms to. It's like the filling of every good thing in every single good way. It's a filling issue. So does Jesus have power to calm a storm? Yes. He can take a great storm and on a dime, he can speak a word, and from one word, he can get it to stop. And he can tackle different types of storms. Did you catch this? So they're on their way to somewhere kind of dark and just so happened to have a storm come out. And it says, first, he rebuked the wind. Did you catch that? See, that word rebuke is used in Mark chapter 1. If you're reading earlier, and the rebuke is the word that he used to drive a demon out of somebody in a synagogue. It's as if he was saying, you know what, there are some storms that there is a darkness behind. There are some storms that because we have an enemy of our soul, that there's this war against us, and some storms need to be rebuked by the power of Jesus. And sometimes, and he does both, he just speaks to the wind and the waves. Sometimes storms have an enemy presence behind them, and sometimes they're just a result of being in a broken and fallen world. Because we're broken and fallen, we have bad relationships. Those bad relationships, you play them out and it leads to all kinds of brokenness. Does it mean that there's a demon behind it? It doesn't, but it still feels broken, doesn't it? So regardless, whether there's some kind of darkness behind it or if this is just our brokenness playing out, the beauty is with Jesus, darkness recognizes his authority, creation recognizes his voice, and every storm bows to the King. So yes, he can. But what is he seeing that we don't miss, that we all miss? Like, what's the filter? Because we see what we want him to stop around us. Like the second I take you to a storm, you think of the thing that Jesus, if you would just show up and if you would just stop the storm around us. But when Jesus sees a storm, he sees what he wants to do inside of us. Jesus is not just simply offering the absence of conflict or pain. He wants, family, he wants to fill you. He wants to meet you. It's fullness, it's revelation. When you say yes to calm, you're not saying, Jesus, stop every storm. You're saying in every storm, if you've got his lens, if you could get his eyes, in every storm, Jesus, would you meet me? Would you fill me? Would you show me what I don't see? So I know I'm about to oversimplify something and it's gonna offend every theologian that has ever existed. Because you talk about storms, like a theology of storms, there's like entire libraries that you could fill with a theology of storms. And I'm gonna oversimplify it to two very simple statements. And I would just say it like this, in a theology of storms, you're gonna experience one of two things. That sometimes God will calm a storm. In this story, Jesus calms a storm. And I just need you to know, in my wife's life, in my kids' lives, we have seen Jesus calm a storm. Sometimes he has rebuked the enemy's activity in our life. Sometimes he has done something powerful and dynamic in our lives and he's turned the tide. And sometimes he does it, and that's why we ask. He says, you don't have because you don't ask. And sometimes we don't ask, and some of us in the room need to ask. Because sometimes God will calm a storm. But here's what I know, is that every time, God will use a storm. What does he use it for? Well, James would say so that you would be mature, you'd be complete, that you wouldn't be lacking anything. Like you're building the kind of faith that your grandkids can stand on. We don't want weak stuff here. Like Romans 5, that a storm produces this thing called perseverance. Perseverance turns into character. It's dukame, that you would be internally what you claim to be externally, and that character would lead to hope. And when we see how Jesus sees, family, storms are not here to sink you. Storms are the sacred altars where he wants to meet you. And in his presence, when we allow and when we have eyes to see, when we welcome him, and when we say, I trust you and I'm going with you, and when a storm hits, in his presence, we are filled. We're filled with perseverance and character and hope and love and faith and power and understanding and comfort and dependence and peace and revelation and compassion and worship and courage. Because it's in the storm that Jesus gets revealed for who he really is. You see it in this passage, verse 41, it says it like this: who is this? Time out. What do you mean, who is this? Cat you've been walking around with for like 18 months, yo. What do you mean, who is this? Why is it that a storm revealed him in a way that a lack of storm never could? Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? I made a list. I bet you have yours. Just some of the storms in our lives that my wife and I have had. We've had an agnostic child and it wounded our soul and hurt. We've had friends and family go through pains that we would never appropriately ever share. Prayers in our living room, prayers in their living rooms. We've had physical challenges. I've dealt with depression. I've shared that with you before. Marriage challenges, health scares with our kids to where we were literally like pleading for our kids' lives. We've had dealing with past wounds. We've had to deal with the baggage that sin has brought into our lives. And I'm just telling you, we've had storms. But I can tell you, like it as confidently as I can say anything, that in some of those storms, we ask and he just showed up. He just showed up. It was powerful. And we will write it down and we will praise him for the rest of our lives for what he has done. And sometimes he didn't calm the storm, but he met us in a way that I can't describe. And even though the storm still raged, there was something that happened in our chest where he just revealed his compassion and his power and his nearness. I never felt so seen as when Jesus showed up right in the middle of my storm and just sat with me. And it'd be enough. If that's all he did, like if he just showed up and revealed his heart in the storm, that would be enough, but that's not even it with him. There's always more with him. Because saying yes to that calm is saying yes to his heart. One of the things I've recognized, I don't know if you remember at the beginning of the story, they were going somewhere, right? Jesus said, let us go. They're like, I don't know. He's like, come on. So they went, they ran into a storm, they get through the storm and they're headed over to the dark place, to the region. And you would think, man, whatever's on the backside of this storm it's gotta be important, right? Like surely this storm is for nothing. So they go over the other side and they get off the boat. If you remember the story, they called him the demoniac. He was up in the cave and he ran down, fell on his knees right in front of Jesus. This was a man who was chained and naked and broken and isolated and self-harm and shame-filled. And again, Jesus speaks, sets him free. And then the community comes out and says, y'all need to leave. So they get back in the boat, they cross back over the other side, and you're like, time out. So you're telling me you brought us through that storm for one dude? Like for one dude? Like I had to go through all that for just, well, it'd be one dude if you didn't know history. But see, that one dude, 6 months later, Jesus is going to come over, and the reason he's going to come over is because 4,000 people want to hear about him, but they're not that group of people, they're this group of people. And those 4,000 people, they want to hear Jesus, not because they've seen him do his things, but because they have watched the transformation of this one man's life, and they can't get over it. They're like, who is it that changed this man? So Jesus speaks to this group, and all we know, literally, departure, you never don't hear about them except for in 70 AD, the Jews get kicked out of all of Israel, everybody, every Jew out, and they didn't even think to grab the people on the other side of the lake. Not even good Jews. When that happens, there's a little church, you can visit it today, that's born at the foothills of the cave of the demoniac. And that one guy who led 4,000 people to come listen birthed a church at the foot of the cave of the demoniac. And for the next 300 years, that will be the gospel sending presence for the entire region. Why do I say that? Because here's what I know about the kingdom. It's not just that he meets us in the storm, he does. But he doesn't just meet us there. Then after he's met us, and after we've encountered him, and after we've found him to be who he is, then he uses it to set other people free. He uses it to bring healing, to bring life, and to bring victory, to pull people out of things that you could never. There's something about the way he uses storms, not only to form you and shape you and bless you and heal you, but then to free and love other people. Because some people only have ears to hear people who have actually weathered the storm. Like after you've weathered the storm, they're watching you different. They're listening different. So I have a friend, her name's Shelby, like family to us, and you've probably heard her before, but we were doing a podcast, this Catch the Wind podcast that we're doing with Holy Spirit. And in the middle of that, we talked about Holy Spirit as healer, and Shelby had a unique voice to speak into this that I felt like only she could do. So why don't you give this a listen?
Am I actively praying for healing? My honest answer is no. I don't turn people away when they want to pray for my healing. Because again, I think it's an exercise for me to continue to press in, to believe that God, you are able and I am not you. And so if you choose in this moment, here I am. But my hope is not in that. I receive people's prayers for healing over me, but I'm not actively seeking. And I take that note from two people in the scriptures. One, Jesus. He prays three times for the Lord to take the cup. And
He says no.
Mm-hmm. And so then he leans all the way into the road of suffering that he has before him.
That's a good girl.
And then Paul, as it relates to the thorn in his flesh, which we don't know what the thorn is, but he prays to the Lord three times to remove the thorn. And it's as he's bringing the pain before him that he hears the word of the Lord. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And so for me right now, the majority of my prayers center around, don't let me miss this opportunity. I would not want someone to tell me this when I'm having a hard day. So I'll preface it with that. Hmm. But when I'm in perspective, I'm reminded that I have one opportunity to suffer. Life is long. Life is long. And this part is so short. And the next will not include suffering. And so I have one opportunity to suffer well and to suffer with him and to believe that he, because of how good he is, can use this to bring healing to the world, to meet people and to awaken him to his love and his presence. And I don't want to miss it. Yeah. I don't want to become so preoccupied with what I want. Not because God doesn't care about what I want, but I just mean like I don't want to wait. Mm. And I think that we can, if we're not careful, we can paralyze ourselves in our participation in the kingdom if we think we have to wait for God to do something before we begin to do life with him. And I don't want that to be my story. And so I more than anything, I'm praying, God, help me see with eyes wide open what the invitation and the opportunity is for such a time as this. I think the way we steward our suffering is such a witness to a world that is longing for purpose and peace and hope. And people who are experiencing long suffering have such an opportunity.
Amen. Yeah. I just love her. So here's what we believe around here. I think you know this. Like every time we're together, we open up God's word. I think our heart would be that we don't end up being the crowd, you know what I'm saying? But that we would really hear and have eyes to see and listen and want to respond. And so I was just thinking, like, what are three appropriate responses to what we just heard? The first one seems relatively simple, but just say yes to his invitation, right? Like I have a strange feeling that somebody's in the room and you've just never left the shore. Like you've wanted Jesus to calm your life, but you've never surrendered your life. And you're asking me to quiet your world, but you've never said, Jesus, I choose to put my life in the boat with you and I trust you. And I get it, man. Like it seems crazy to put your whole life in a boat. And I would say for those of us that have put our lives in the boat, we're like, it seems crazy that you would think that storms don't come on the shore and that storms won't come in your life and that you won't be left on your own hold in the cards. Like wherever he is where I want to be. And if you've never surrendered your life, and I love that you're here, but you can't meet him from the crowd. You have to meet him in his person. And you have to say, I surrender. I trust you. I want to lay down my life. I want to follow you in baptism. And if that's you today, I just would encourage you as your friend. For some of you, I put it like this. You hopped in the boat and you went out, but like some of those boats that turn back, you went through the early signs, you had a lot of growth, but at some point you were like, I don't know about this, man. It's just more comfortable. I like the old friends, I like the old places. I don't wanna have to shift my appetites. This just feels too hard. This feels too unknown. And so something gravitationally, mediocrity gravitationally pulled you back to just life on the shore. You so long for what he wants to do in you, but the honest response today would be for you to re-receive his invitation, to just surrender your life to him. So God, I just afresh all over today, right where I am, or up, you could come up here and kneel. We're family around here. During this next worship, but I'm just saying, maybe you need to say yes to his invitation. Some of you need to say yes to his shalom. And I would just say it like this, you're in a storm, water's in the boat, waves are breaking over the bow, you feel like you're sinking right now. And you would love a word from him. Whether that word is to stop and defend you, whether that word is stop and to heal you, whether that is a word that just speaks into you to reveal what he's doing in the midst of your storm so you can see it, so you can have faith in it. I don't know what it is, but I would just say that God wants to do more than just, and he loves to help us. But greater than the storm out there, he wants to do something in you. And if you're out there and you're just going through a storm, I just want to invite you to pray during this time. If you feel like you need us to pray with you, you need some words, you know, we will have a prayer team down here with love. We're all family. Just come down. It's normal for us. Team would love to pray for you. The third thing is say yes to his heart. Some of you are on the other side of a storm, and I hope what you heard today, you're doing great, you're following me, you're trusting him, you've been through a storm, and it's time for you to start leveraging your storm so other people can find freedom. You need to pray, Lord, you have brought me through. And just even this next worship song, just tell him how thankful you are. And then tell him that you're available. Just tell him you're available. Whoever's on your heart, might be somebody at work, might be a new ministry, hop into, I don't know. But Lord, I am available because you've done too much for me to keep it to myself. So Father, I just pray over my brothers and sisters, a blessing. Father, I pray that there would be some storms today that would meet their end. Father, I pray that today that your authority would rebuke some enemy activity in people's lives. I pray that today that you bring a stillness to some people's bodies and minds and hearts and relationships and marriages. Father, I pray today for every single one of us that you would fill us, that you would meet us. We want to meet you. We want to walk with you. We need you. So Father, come right now, right in the midst of our storms, right where we are, and do what only you can do. Bring the calm that comes with your presence. We pray that in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If today's message made you realize you need to take your next step with Jesus, we would love to help you with that. You can connect with us on any of our social media platforms throughout the week or visit our website at southeastchristian.org. And if you want to hear more content like this, you can check out our sermons podcast or our One at a Time podcast. Both can be found everywhere podcasts are available. Have a great week.